This morning, we've gathered to worship. We call this a worship service, a worship gathering. And most of you had an expectation, an anticipation that we would spend this time together worshiping God. And we would sing songs and we would study the Word of God together. And that over the course of the next 60 minutes or so, or 60, 90 minutes, whatever it happens to be, that we would worship God. And we're going to do that today. We do that every Sunday. But what I want to talk about to you this morning as we continue our series on glorifying God is that worship is so much more than what happens in this building. It's so much more than what happens for an hour on Sunday. And last week, if you weren't here, I encourage you to check out the podcast. We talked about how do we worship on Sunday. And that's a really, really important thing. That we have to come with glad and sincere hearts before the Lord. And we said that it's not all about you last week. And that's one of the things that's so difficult for us is we tend to make worship all about us, about feeling good, about being energized, about being inspired, about singing the songs that we like to sing, about having the translation of the Bible used that we like to have translated. Maybe it's about having the pastor wear the clothes that you like him to wear or not wear. Or you having the privilege to wear what you like to wear or don't like to wear. It's all about us and what can we receive, what can we get out of the worship experience? And this morning, we're going to continue and kind of spin things a little bit and take it to the next level and talk about what does it mean for us then to worship the rest of the week? On this next slide, you'll see, David, if you can help me out, please, with some technical difficulties that we're having. We exist as a church to fulfill the Great Commission and to follow the Great Commandment by serving our community, sharing our story, and sending disciples to bless the nations. That's what we're all about for the ultimate purpose of glorifying God. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Not 42%, not 87%, not 99%, but we exist to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. The one that we've sung about, the one that we pray to, the one that created us, the one that spoke into existence, that He is what it's all about. It's all about Him. And this is a difficult thing for all of us because we are all wired up as very selfish creatures. We're conditioned in our culture that it's all about us, that we should have it our way, and that whatever makes us happy, that's what we should do. Whatever feels good to us, that's where we should go. And it's really difficult because our culture is so wired up, I think even more than a lot of other cultures, that have a view of, say, the elders and giving honor to older people. There are cultures that care about family and say, parents are going to make sacrifices for their children and they're going to actually decide not to buy things that please them for the sake of the children. They're going to make sacrifices, and many do. But we see many people today make zero sacrifice for anyone, anytime, anywhere. Before we go any further, let's just take a moment and pray together and ask God to speak to us at this moment. Jesus, thank you so much that it was not all about you on the cross, but it was all about us. In a few moments, we're going to remember, Jesus, the sacrifice that you made, pouring out your body and blood for us. And we are so, so grateful that you chose not to be selfish and not to make it all about you, but to make it in that moment all about us. That you shed your blood and your body for us. How can we begin to say thank you? How can we begin to express our love and our gratitude to you? For you gave everything that you had. And it's our desire to be our desire that it would be all about you, that we would respond in kind and give back to you everything that we have, our time, our talent, our treasures, everything for every moment of our lives. I pray that you would forgive me for all the times when I've made worship and made life all about me and my desires. And I pray that you would help us all to make life, to make this church, to make this planet all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glorifying God, that's what we're here to do today. And as we go ahead, David, if you can again just kind of help me out. We looked earlier at Colossians chapter 3. And we don't often do this, but would you just stand with me? And we're gonna read this together, all in unison together. Just stand. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, I want to just pause for a moment before you sit down. If we can go to the next slide, I want to just have us read together again that last verse. And it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Okay, you may be seated. Now, I just want to take a moment and look at this verse, because there may be no more important verse about the subject of worship, about the subject of bringing honor and glory to God, because it says, whatever you do, and I looked up this week in the Greek to see, what is that word, whatever you do, what do those three words mean? And those three words, they're translated, whatever you do. That's what they mean. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do. See, friends, worship is about life, and all of life, whatever you do, should be about bringing honor and glory to God. That's really my whole point this morning. It's all about Him. It's all about bringing honor and glory to God. Everything that we do in life. How many of you are students? Raise your hand. Some of you aren't sure. All right. Now, for those of you that are students, and I'm actually a student as well. In fact, I had a big quiz last night online that was pretty rough. Whatever you do, so this would include homework. Have you ever thought about homework as worship? Oh my, I lost you already, didn't I? How you go about doing your homework is really, really important. Because our attitude should be to bring God our very best and to study our best. When you take tests and quizzes, do it all for the glory of God. Yeah, as a student, your job is to study. Your job is to learn and expand your mind and be very, very kind to your teachers. Just waiting for a few amens in there. Okay, but is your job worship is what you can do in school. That you do it not just for your teachers and not just for your own future, though those are very important, but that you're ultimately doing it for the Lord. Now, how about breakfast? Any of you had breakfast this morning? Any of you wish you had breakfast this morning? How many of you ever thought about breakfast as worship? What? Look at this verse. It says this. Whether you eat or drink, or there's that phrase again, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But you never thought about eating as worship. But how you eat, where you eat, when you eat, how much you eat, doing it for the glory of God. Maybe some of you, that means you need to share the food that you have, that you've been so blessed, and that we have more than we need, and so part of how we eat is actually sharing with other people as they eat. Maybe it has to do with calories so that you don't destroy the temple that we've asked God to enter, that we sang earlier, Father, enter this temple. Maybe our temple needs to not be so big or whatever. Whether you eat or drink, like your food, your diet, it's worship, or it can be worship because it's supposed to be for the glory of God. How many of you work in the marketplace? You have like a job that you get paid to do. Okay? Most of you. Did you know that your job is to be viewed as worship? That the way that you work, your attitude, the quality of your work and your effort, that can bring honor or dishonor to God. It's not just your boss that you are serving. It's not just your clients and your customers. But ultimately, when you work, you are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whether people are watching you or not, whether your boss notices or not, whether your coworkers notice or not, the quality of your work that you do, that you get paid to do, can bring honor or dishonor to God. I want you to just think about that. I had a conversation years ago with a friend of mine, and she came to me and she said, "You know, Kirk, I love what you do as a pastor. It's great. I just wish I had a job that was spiritual like yours, because you must be like so godly and holy that you're a pastor, and all I do is physical therapy." And I thought, wait, time out. What do you mean? All you do is physical therapy. So what you're telling me is all day long you work with men and women and help them in their healing process. You take care of the bodies that God created them to bring them healing and health. You exchange conversation with people that were created in the image of God, and you have opportunities every day to shine the light of Jesus Christ into their lives, to speak truth and hope and express joy and love to people far from God. I said, your job is just as spiritual, just as important, just as holy as my job. And I've had this conversation with a number of people through the years, and I want to say to those of you that work in the marketplace, the work that you do, it's worship. It is just as important, in some cases more important than the work that I do, as you're rubbing shoulders daily with people far from God. As you're able to shine the light, to be salt to a world that's definitely lost its saltiness, its flavor. That when you work from 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 or whatever the case may be, that you have an opportunity to not only work for your boss, but to worship and glorify God. Whatever you do, it says. And so whether you're a student and you're studying, or you're working in the marketplace, some of you work at home, you're a homemaker, or you're looking for jobs, and there's a search for meaningful employment, that process can bring honor and glory to God. Whatever you do, Colossians 3, it continues on. Work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Can we just repeat that last sentence together? It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now I want to do it again, except replace the "you" with "I am." It is the Lord Christ I am serving. Now most of you would probably agree if I said to you that as I preach and as I lead and as I'm your pastor, that I'm serving Jesus. But I wonder how many of you really have that same mentality when you go to the office tomorrow, that it is Christ I am serving. It is. It is. And friends, if all of us could understand this and truly be awed in worship of God, awed in how magnificent He is, and then our response be to live that out, a life of gratitude, a life of love, a life of service, a life of devotion to others, a life of sacrifice in everything that we do. I have a feeling the name Christian would have a much different ring to it. I think that people around us would stand up and take notice and say, why is it that all these Christians are the hardest working people? They do the best work. They have the most passion, the most joy. They're helpful in serving other people. They're not worried about backbiting and stabbing and gossiping about people around them. But in fact, they're peacemakers. And they go out of their way to make sure that our work environment is one that is pleasing and attractive and great to come to every single day. Isn't that a vision? I think our world, our society would be turned upside down And tragically, we have too many so-called Christians that put fish on the back of their bumpers. It's fine if you do, just don't speed. But they pull in and then all of a sudden they're badged with the name of Jesus Christ and put out poor work. I have a friend who has a business in Metro Detroit, and he's worked so hard for so many years to hire good Christian men and women to work at his company. He's got a number of employees, and he's been working for this company. Well, he started the company about 15, 20 years ago. And I can't tell you the number of times that he's told me about some employee he was so excited about because they were a follower of Jesus and they attended this church and they seemed like good, upright people. And that's the type of people that he wants to hire in his company. That's the type of people anyone would want to hire. And time and time and time again, he's told me how these people have been the laziest workers. They've put out the worst quality. Now, this isn't every single person, but he's given me examples of people that said that they honored the name of Christ and then did absolutely terrible work. In fact, he said, I'm just about to stop hiring Christians and just go after people that don't know Christ, because it seems like those people actually work harder. They do better work. Now, this is one man's experience. I'm not trying to put this on every person in this room, but I want to let you know that there is an image, there is a name that we stand for and we support, and that name is Jesus Christ. And if we wear that name, then we need to honor that name all the time. If we claim the name of Jesus Christ, that needs to go with us to the marketplace. It needs to go with us when we're at the grocery store. It needs to go with us when we're volunteering and serving those in need in a community. It needs to go with us when we work hard in school. And that doesn't mean that if you don't get straight A's that you're dishonoring Jesus. But are you putting forth your best effort in everything that you do? Whatever you do, this phrase Paul uses over and over and over again in Colossians and in other verses as well, in other books. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. All your heart. So my question this morning. Think about students. Think about the work that you've been doing. Are you doing it with all your heart? Those of you in the marketplace, are you doing it with all your heart? Those of you that stay at home, take care of families. Are you doing it with all your heart? Not for the people around you. But it's the Lord Christ you are serving. I love this quote from Martin Luther. He said, the maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. When God created, when he did his work, he did a pretty good job. Would you agree? Amen. Is my mic on? When God created this world, when he spoke it into existence in 6 days, I think he did pretty good work. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look around the room. I mean, there is beauty to behold in this room, that the creativity of the Creator God is truly one of an artist, the greatest artist. In fact, there's probably no time of the year where this beauty and this creativity is more evident. I love the fall. And it seems like every day as I make the same drive, it's like a whole new drive. Have you noticed this? It's like, wow, that was green yesterday. And now it's orange. It's pink. It's red. The colors are just magnificent. Even just standing here and looking out as I did earlier this morning, it just the colors of the trees and the leaves and even the plants. God does great work. We were created in His image to do great work. And so my encouragement to you, friends, is to glorify God in everything that you do. Look at your calendar. Does it worship God? Look at your checkbook. Does it show that you worship and honor God? Look at the relationships that you have, the way that you spend your time, the conversations that you have, the things that you watch on TV, the websites that you go to, the correspondence that you have with people through texting and email and letters, if any of you still write those. Does it bring honor and glory to God? Is it your worship to God. The word worship means worth-ship, that God is worthy. And it's not just worthy of us singing a few songs on Sunday morning. That's not what it talks about. The idea of worship is to have a full heart completely devoted to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. That's what worship is about. Just go to the next one, please. We live in a culture that tends to segment our lives. And this picture, I think, relates to it pretty well. And maybe you've seen different pie charts about life. And you have your relationships and your physical body health, body life and your work and your mind and your develop, you know, your academic stuff and your health and creativity and your spiritual life and your home life. That maybe this picture kind of represents the way that you view life. This is the way that a lot of people view life. And we have, you know, that spirit section, that God section. And so on Sunday, we take that hour and we say we're going to devote that hour to God. And then the rest of the week we use for everything else. Or maybe some of you that are really spiritual and you have a quiet time, you take 5 minutes in the morning and you say a prayer and you devote that 5 minutes to God. And then it's time to move on to work and all this other stuff. I want to make a suggestion to you, friends, that instead of God being a piece of your life, a part of your life, that He's the crust. That He's the crust that supports everything else. He's the crust that holds it all together, that keeps your life in check. He's the crust that impacts significantly everything that you say and do and think and feel. And that all of it is worship to God. All of it is about glorifying God. Whether you work, whether you play, whatever you do, that it may bring glory and honor and worship to God. So that's what I've got for you this morning. This idea that worship is more than just what we do on Sundays. It definitely includes that. But that this would be an opportunity to remind us of why we worship. We worship because He has done so much for us. We worship because He is worthy and He's worth our worship, our focus, our attention. Not just words out of our mouth, but actions, thoughts, attitudes of the heart. As elders come up, we're going to celebrate communion together. And every time we remember Jesus' death, He commanded us to remember His death until He returns, until He comes again. And every time we take communion, I'm reminded of the fact that Jesus did not do a so-so job. He didn't do like a C+ when He came to earth. He didn't give us 82%. He gave it all. He gave everything that He had. In fact, many of you have probably seen and heard, you know, the depiction that someone asked Him, "How much, Jesus, do you love us?" And He reached out His arms and He said, "I love you this much." And He died. He didn't hold anything back. You know, sports metaphors, give 110%. Come on, give 100%. I mean, that's not even possible. But Jesus gave 100%. He gave everything. In fact, an old song says, "He gave His life. What more could He give?" And so over the next few moments, as we take communion together, this is an opportunity to remember that Jesus gave everything for you and He asked for everything back. He deserves our all, our best in every part of life. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, we invite you to participate, to take the bread as it's passed around. And to remember the body of Jesus that was broken for you. To take the cup and remember His blood that was just poured out for you. All who follow Jesus are welcome to participate in this meal, this remembrance of Jesus and what He did for us. And I pray that as we eat and drink together, it will remind us of just how much we are loved. And that love would compel us to love and give back to Jesus in all aspects of our life.